Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all of you out there. Now, I don't know exactly how this seems to work out, but our topic today revolves around something that all you moms I know have plenty of, and that is this beautiful thing called time. So we're in this series, What is God? And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the various attributes of God. And a big part of the motivation for me in preaching these messages and hopefully what you're getting out of them is just this growing understanding of who God is, and that it brings us to a place where we just begin to be able to worship Him more and more for who He is, as we just understand better and better those attributes of God and where we stand in light of God. We discover not only His love, but just the great things about Him that allow us to grow our faith and really put our trust in Him. So today we want to talk about the topic of time. We're going to talk about God, we're going to talk about us, and we're going to talk about this thing called time. Now, time is probably one of the things that we find the most difficult to be on the same page with God on. There are a lot of attributes that we've talked about concerning God already that even before I talked about them, you probably were aware of them, maybe even accepted them. For instance, we talk about how God is invisible, right? That God doesn't have a body like we do, that He is immaterial. And most of us are good with that. Like, we're satisfied that that is a distinction between us and God, that God is invisible and we are not. We sort of get that. Another thing is that God is everywhere, right? We use this word that God is omnipresent. That means there's no space where He is not, and that He exists in every place. So God is omnipresent. And again, we're kind of okay with the fact that He's that way and we're not. We sort of get that. We even expect that that's probably how God should be. Another thing we talked about is how God knows everything, right? That God knows all there is to know, that He's all-knowing, and we're not. Again, probably pretty much okay with that. And then we get into this part about God as it relates to time, and we use the word eternal to describe God, that He is from everlasting to everlasting. That's one of the verses we looked at last week. And to some degree, we're okay with that too, the understanding that God, He has no beginning and no end. He is this eternal being. He was neither created nor made. He always has been. But when it comes to this matter of how God manages time, that's where our roads start to diverge. I think that as we consider our understanding of time and the way we deal with time and our emotional reaction to time, and then contrast that with the way God seems to be not nearly as preoccupied with time like we are, that is a place where it often feels like we kind of start to part ways. And part of the reason is because if you really think about it, it's like we're on different schedules compared with God. We have a schedule. We have a way in which we want to see things played out, a sequence of events as we think they would best occur. And so many times in our lives, with all that is going on, it seems like when we really need God to act, when we really need God to pull through, and we start asking the question, well, you know, when is God going to fix this? Or when is God going to do that? We oftentimes discover and conclude we just seem to be on very different schedules. Now, I think a big part of the reason for that is because we relate to time completely differently. The way God relates to time and the way we relate to time have very little in common. God is, like we said before, an eternal being, and we're not. We're temporal, right? We had a beginning. Somebody did make us. We had a start. And we know that that life is advancing, right? And that time just continues to go on. And there's no pause buttons. There's no, hold on a second, I got to figure some things out. Can the world just stop for a moment while I take care of this? No, just time continues to race on. And so we become slaves to that time. As far as our humanity is concerned, time does a couple things. One thing it does is it exposes our frailty. It reminds us of the temporal nature of our lives. No doubt you've probably noticed that you're advancing in years, that you're not as young as you used to be, and so you look differently from the way you looked before. You probably feel differently from the way you felt in years past, right? Time exposes our frailty. It reminds us of our mortality, that not everything stays the same, or in the case of time and things like aging, things don't necessarily get better. James in chapter 4, verse 14, makes this statement, which I think is really relevant to how we see or how we should see our lives. He says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. And isn't that true? As we think about the way we relate to time, the time is going and sometimes going very, very, very quickly. Maybe not as quickly right now because we're all stuck at home, but normally the world is racing around us and it just seems like we can't keep up. And James asks this question, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog, right? It's just you blink your eyes and all of a sudden you're 10 years older than you were before. The other thing about time as it relates to humanity is that time is often distorted. Like we have a distorted view of time. As we come to understand better God's relation to time, what time means, you know, in the eternal mind of God, we get to see better and better just how distorted our understanding of time is, and it starts to make sense why we can be on a different page from God. For one thing, we treat urgently those things that we should put off, right? Those things that maybe aren't all that important or don't need to be taken care of right now, we treat them very urgently. We're often in a rush for something to happen. We're often in a rush for the answer to the question, well, when is this going to take place? When is this going to be finalized? When is it going to be my turn? Now, I'm reminded of the story of Saul, first king of Israel, who at one point was getting ready to go into battle, and he was waiting for the prophet Samuel to come and make the sacrifice because that's what you were supposed to do. Like if you wanted God to be on your side, and if you wanted him to go before you and advance before your armies and make sure that you were successful militarily, you had to perform that sacrifice. But Saul started to get nervous because the arrival of Samuel was delayed. And so delayed that Saul finally took matters into his own hands. He acted very rashly. And the consequence for his acting so rashly and rushing into this activity that had nothing to do with him, that he was not allowed or permitted to perform, it cost him an immense deal. We treat urgently those things that we should put off. We're often in a rush and in a race for things to happen and to happen according to our time. But then time's also distorted in the other direction as well. Sometimes we treat unimportant those things that should be urgent, right? Those things that really, really do deserve our immediate attention. Oftentimes it's those things that we treat as being unimportant. You think about the story of Lot in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. He and his family were God was coming in to rescue them from this land that was about to just be under the great judgment of God. And they were going to be destroyed along with the rest of the city if they didn't get out of there. And these angels were sent to come and take them out. And the angels were constantly trying to get everybody in the house to speed things up and move along and get out of there because the danger was imminent. And it reminds us how we as human beings so many times can see danger on the horizon, but we just think, well, you know, it's not all that important. But there are matters of life that are extremely important that we should treat with the urgency they require, and yet sometimes we let other things take control of our time and forget about those things that are vastly more important. And then finally, you know, we always try to beat time, but time always wins. Think about the lengths that we go to in order to try to conquer this thing called time. You go onto the app store, start looking for software solutions for how to manage time. You're going to find probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different possibilities. Things that will help make you more productive. Things that will help you to manage your schedule and your calendar and all of the responsibilities that you have, right? We're constantly looking for ways to be more productive because we can't manufacture more time. The only thing we can do is try to do better with the time that we have. And so we try to beat time, but time always wins. We try to beat time physically. Right? We do things to our body to just try to stay ahead of the curve, try to keep ourselves healthy. We do certain things to modify the characteristics of those parts of us maybe that are aging, right? That we're not ready for them to age yet, right? So we try to beat time, but time always wins. Now, when it comes to matters of our lives and just living out our lives and maybe the difficulties that we experience and some of those things for which we're trusting in God to help, we're often facing this question of, well, when is God going to do such and such? When's God going to perform a miracle in my life in this particular area? Or when is God going to help solve this problem? When is God going to mend this relationship, right? Because we understand that there are certain things that are sort of outside of our control, that are more than we can handle, and we're looking for God to act. And boy, wouldn't we love it if God would just do what we wanted him to do when we wanted him to do it. And yet, we find instead, oftentimes, that we are on like a completely different page from God when it comes to whatever it is that we think he should be up to and what he actually is up to. I want to share with you for a moment, let's take a pause from this, share with you what is probably my favorite TV moment in all of history. It's a clip comes from Everybody Loves Raymond. Tells a little bit about the problem of time, at least as it relates between two human beings. Check it out.
Hey, I'm outside waiting in the car for 20 minutes.
Coming.
Oh, come on. You know, you don't have to do your hair. I married you already.
I'll be down in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, your minute. It's a half an hour. That's why the kids can't tell time.
Dad, I'll be right down.
We can tell time.
I know. Hey, come on, we're going to miss the previews.
You know, we're not stupid.
I know. Come on. You know I need my seat by the aisle.
It's 7:23.
Don't tell me. Tell your mother. Hello!
Every single time we go out, you make me wait.
What? That's not true.
It's every single time. You know how I hate being late. It makes me very anxious. I get all inside.
If I'm late, maybe it's because the government requires that one of us tends to the children.
Oh, don't give me that. The children are nowhere near you when you're up here.
You are one ugly woman.
Blaming the children. Well, you were doing this to me before we were married. You make me wait in your apartment while you were getting ready, and I had to sit there and look at your books.
You used to think I was worth waiting for.
You were worth waiting for, but after 15 years, you should be here by now.
One of the things that we learned there is that people have different concepts and understandings of time, right? We've probably experienced the conflict that arises because the way we understand time is different from maybe the person that you live with understands time. And it works the same way with God sometimes. Like, it just feels like, man, I'm on a different, God's just not on the same page as I am when it comes to this thing going on in my life. I want to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, a couple of verses here that give us a little bit of insight into the difference between how God relates to time and the way we relate to time. So it says, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Now, what's going on here is Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is reminding us, the readers, of the final experiences that the disciples had with Jesus. Jesus had died, he had risen again, and he spent about 40 days on earth with his disciples and others. And he gave them the Great Commission, right? He told them to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He gave them this immense task to go. And he made this promise to them. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, so I want you to wait in Jerusalem. I want you to wait here until you receive the power that's going to come from above, right? And so as they're hearing this great mission that they're being given and this great promise that's being made to them, they can't help but ask the question that they've asked for years. Like, probably almost literally from the beginning, they've been asking Jesus and trying to get an answer from him. When is God going to fix all of this? Like, when is God going to come in and rescue his people out from under the hand of the Romans? When is God going to improve the conditions of our lives? When is the kingdom of God going to be established, this kingdom that you've been talking about now for the last few years? And so it just seemed perfectly natural to ask the question, Lord, is this when it's going to happen? Is this finally when you're going to restore the kingdom of God? And Israel's going to again have its rightful place, right? It's a great question. It's a big question. It's similar, I think, to a lot of the questions that you and I have about our own very lives. Maybe we're not talking about whole kingdoms or whole empires, but we certainly understand the kingdom of our lives as being these very, very fragile things at times, right? Because things aren't going quite the way we want them to go, at least when we want them to go there. And we wonder, God, when are you going to come through? In fact, if you read through the Bible, you will find over and over and over again just this constant crying out to God of, you know, God, when are you going to act? When are you going to come through? When are you going to fulfill your promise? When are you going to just reveal yourself again? When are you going to show up? It's the question that is constantly on the heart of humanity. And so the disciples, they again ask Jesus this question. And here's the answer that Jesus gives them. He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. Hey guys, as far as the establishment of the kingdom of God and the sort of final tally of all things, like those are above your pay grade. Those are things that are outside the purview and the scope of what you should be interested in. Because those matters belong to the Father alone, and they're not for you to know. Now, I bet at some point, if you have children, you have answered questions similarly to the way Jesus answered this question that the disciples had. You know, those questions that maybe a person's not ready to receive the answer to. Or perhaps is just beyond the scope of what they can understand. And Jesus is, it's as if he's saying to them, listen guys, these things are not for you to know. They're not for you. This is for an entirely different being that is not you. So if that helps us to maybe understand at least from a starting point why the difference between how God relates to time and how we relate to time can create some frustration and can create some difficulty for us, but that we want to try to better understand and come under a better way of dealing with the disparity between how we see these things. Well, what is it that we need to understand better about God? What is it that we need to understand about how God relates to time that maybe will put us in a position where we can deal better with our own time management problems and our own distortions of time and our own misunderstanding of the timing of things? Well, first of all, I think that we have to understand again that God is eternal. That is an essential attribute of who God is. We talked about it before. We talked about it again today. God is an eternal being. And as such, that means he will never rush into anything. He won't. He's not like we are. Right? We act rashly, oftentimes illogically, right? Because for us, so many times, time is of the essence. And we see what could be lost. We see what could be forfeited. We see what danger might ultimately come because we didn't act. And so we rush. But God has never, ever, 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 he has never rushed into anything. He's never been in a hurry. Like he's that car on the highway that just seems to kind of be meandering in the middle lane there, blocking traffic, right? Because he's not in a rush to get anywhere. He lives above this thing called time, this thing that oftentimes rules and reigns in our own hearts and lives, but God is not ruled by it. And so he doesn't rush into anything. And so we need to better understand and be more cognizant of the fact that God is an eternal being. And so he's not playing by the same rules that we are. Psalm 90 verse 4 says, Lord, for you, 1,000 years are a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. in the New Testament said another way, that a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. You know what happened 1,000 years ago? 1,000 years ago, Thorkell the Tall, this Viking ruler, was banished from England. Did you know that? No, of course you didn't know that, because it was 1,000 years ago, right? But this verse tells us that it's just a blink of an eye to God. In the mind of God, what happened 1,000 years ago is basically just happened. It's almost as if it's merged with today. You know, we can't see time the way that God does. So God is eternal. Secondly, God is immutable. Now, that's just a fancy way to talk about how God is unchanging. That God exists the same always and forever. That his nature, the essence of his nature, is never changing. He doesn't change from time to time like we do. Right? That's one of the frustrating things about time, is because we see things as advancing and moving, and we're changing. And so again, we view time differently, but God, he's unchanging. He's immutable. He doesn't move from his place. And so therefore, he is not constricted in the same way that we are. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says this about the Lord. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that's not true about us. And so we see time differently from the way that he does. So what does this all mean? Well, what I believe is that many of us listening to this today, we're in a relationship with God, or maybe thinking about getting into a relationship with God, and that relationship requires this thing called trust. Right? There's no way that we can be in a relationship with God without trusting God. We wonder, well, what does it mean to trust God? What does it mean to put your faith and your trust in God? What does that look like? Well, it quite literally means waiting on God. It means to wait. Trusting in God has, like, pretty much everything to do with relinquishing our control and even our perception of time and placing it into the hands of our everlasting Heavenly Father and trusting him with it. Trusting God means waiting on God. That's what it means. For me to trust God means that I wait on him. You know what trust is? Trust is, it's that thing that you do during the time that you don't have something in your possession. People in a healthy marriage relationship trust one another. One spouse trusts the other to be faithful to him or her. Now, that trust isn't happening in the living room when they're together, right? Because they have each other there. The trust begins when one leaves and the other one trusts that that person will be faithful. When we put our money into the bank, what we're doing there is we're putting it into a trust, right? We have parted ways. We are physically separated from the money at that time, and we're trusting that the bank is going to secure it and keep it for us until that time when we need it. So trust is what you do during the time you don't have something. So many times we want to live out this relationship with God that we profess to have, but don't want to do the hard work of trusting him, which again means waiting on him. What we want is for God to do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. God, why is it that you haven't acted on my behalf yet? God, where are you? What is taking so long for you to do what I want you to do when I want you to do it? And all along, there is this opportunity for you and me to learn to continue to trust God. In fact, if God answered our prayers and if God did our bidding every single time we asked him when we asked him to do it, there'd be no opportunity for trust and therefore no opportunity to actually grow in our relationship with him. So to trust God means to wait on God. That's the whole thing. If I'm going to trust God, I have to wait on him. So if that's true, well, how do we wait well? How do we start to do better at waiting? Because we're terrible at it, right? We all are. You're terrible at it, I promise you. I'm certainly terrible at it as well. We all laugh and joke about how impatient we are as human beings, that we are the most impatient creatures on this planet. But I believe that as we're growing in our relationship with God, it means that we are starting to learn how to wait better than we used to wait. That our perspective of time is starting to morph and change and take on more of the form of the way in which God relates to time. So here are a couple things that I want to share with you. First of all, I want to encourage you to wait actively. And we talk about waiting on God. This does not mean cowering alone in a room somewhere, just hoping that maybe God will do something for you. That's not what waiting on God is. Waiting is hard work, and waiting is an active and constant effort on our part. It is something that we do. It is something that we engage in. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, many of you are familiar with this verse. Perhaps you've even memorized it, but it so beautifully reminds us of what it means to trust God and wait on Him. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." I love how it says that. Do not depend on your own understanding. Maybe you've learned it where it says, "Do not lean on your own understanding." What that means is that you and I, we need to make the willful decision to stop understanding things the way we're currently understanding them. Like as you think about the things that you're engaged in your life as far as time is concerned, those things that you are impatient about, those things that maybe aren't happening the way that you want them to happen when you want them to happen, as you start to compile a list of all of those things and your understanding of those things, Proverbs 3 verse 5 tells us that you and I, we actually make the active, cognizant decision to stop understanding the way we're wired to understand them. That's what it means to start growing in our trust in what God is doing and what God is operating in and how God is dealing in the unseen world in ways that you and I cannot understand and certainly cannot see. I love what John Piper said as far as the operation of God and how He's working in our lives. He said, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of three of them. That's the reality, that right now, God is doing an immense number of things in your life and in my life. Thousands of things, all kinds of moving parts. You're aware of a couple of them and completely unaware of all the other things that God is doing. And so as we wrestle with this question of when, God, when? Let's just be reminded of how God is at work and doing the things that we cannot see. Second thing I want to encourage you with is see time differently. Again, we sort of alluded to this before, but let your understanding and your perspective of time start to morph more into what God sees when He considers time. Start to see time differently. Dr. Augustus Strong said, when a man bicycling against the wind turns about and goes with the wind, instead of going against it, the wind seems to change, although it is blowing just as it was before. Hey, the reality is you have a perspective of things going on in your life right now. And that perspective, chances are, is really, really kind of partial. It's just not complete, right? Because you and I, we're finite in our understanding of things. We don't comprehend everything perfectly. And so because of that, because of our limitations, we see things the way we see them. And a lot of times we work against what it is that God wants to do in our lives. And so maybe for some of us, there's this requirement that we got to turn around. We got to change. Like we want to change God. We want to twist the arm of God. We want to get God to do what we want Him to do when we want Him to do it. But maybe instead it's our perspective that needs to change. Maybe there's some transformation that needs to happen in my life. Maybe I need to, you know, I've been going against the wind on my bike here, but maybe it's time for me to just turn this thing around and let the wind take me for a little while. And then finally, learn what is meant by the word yet. Learn what is meant by the word yet. You know, this word yet comes up in a lot of contexts, certainly in Scripture. You know, people talk about the injustice of God. And whenever anybody starts to talk about the injustice of God, right, because they consider the injustices of the world and how God hasn't done anything about them, that God hasn't corrected the injustice that's taking place in a region or in the life of a person, We always leave out this very small but very powerful word. It's the word yet. Anytime we start to consider how things appear to be reeling out of control or that injustices are just left unchecked, and we wonder, well, when is God going to do anything about this? We have to remember again, God's perspective of time is completely different from ours. And the rules under which he operates are completely different from ours as well. And so when something hasn't happened, let's just not be too quick to forget. Well, maybe it just hasn't happened yet. Because here's the reality I believe about God, and that is that God never misses an opportunity. You and I, we want things to change when we want them to change them because we're afraid of lost opportunity. But God never, ever, ever misses an opportunity to do anything good, in fact, anything perfect in our lives. I close with these thoughts from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 to 23. Here, the writer laments of his present condition and the experiences that he has gone through. And I love how he declares the reality that the things that he's experienced are not things that he'll ever forget. Right? We talk about how time heals all wounds, and that's all wonderful and great. But you have things that have happened in your life that you have not forgotten. You have things that have happened in your life that have not easily left your memory banks. And that's just the way it is for us. Yes, time can certainly provide some healing for you and me, but our experiences are our experiences. The question is, can our perspective of those experiences start to change as we grow closer in our understanding of who God is, what God's doing, when God works, how God works, and all of that? The writer says, "The thought of my suffering and my homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet," and there's that magical word, "yet I still dare to hope when I remember this." Oh yeah, the reality of my suffering is very, very real. The struggles that I've gone through and this time that I've experienced, I'll never forget it. And I will grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. And that is that the faithful love of the Lord never ends. That word never, that's a big word when it comes to this thing called time. There's a lot of things that you and I could never claim to ever and never do. But here we're told the faithful love of the Lord never ends, that there's nothing that can be done that will cause the faithful love of our Lord to end, and his mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. My prayer for us this morning is that we would better understand, better come under the domain of how God rules this thing called time, that we would relinquish our desire to try to control it and try to manipulate it and rest easily in the fact that he has it under control and that God will do what God needs to do when God needs to do it. And I hope that's something that you and I can trust in. Let's pray together. Father, it's certainly not anything easy for us to put the kind of trust in you that we really need to. This trust that is ultimately defined by the fact that we're willing to wait on you. But Lord, I pray that you would help for all those that are listening today to just feel a measure of grace welling up in their hearts that will allow them to do just that. That as time goes on, as they feel like that time is outside of their control and their ability to manipulate into how they want it to be managed, Lord, I pray that you would just help them to rest in your time, to rest in the fact that we live in the loving and caring protection of the eternal God of the universe, who never acts rashly, who never rushes into anything, and who always does everything perfectly and on time. Help us to grow in our trust in you in that regard, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray you have a wonderful day, a happy Mother's Day to all you ladies out there. Enjoy it. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.